This is Capital Chat. This is Jeff Shapiro, politics columnist for the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Here today, politics reporter Mel Leonor, and she is covering what one might describe as the main event, a House of Delegates election in a district anchored in Colonial Heights, not just between anyone, but the Speaker of the House, Kirk Cox, and a Democratic challenger, Sheila Bynum Coleman, who came perilously close to knocking off a Republican incumbent in another district 2 years ago. Mel, let's start with why this race matters. There is this small matter of redistricting, or perhaps one might describe it as redistricting.
Kirk Cox is in a seat that became vulnerable through redistricting earlier this year. A court order basically redrew his district in a way that now gives a Democrat in this race, Sheila, the advantage. He has 32,000 new voters. A lot of those are Democrats in areas where he hasn't canvassed in probably about a decade. And so that's what I think makes this race really interesting.
And so if you are Kirk Cox and you are the symbol of Republican legislative dominance and you find yourself running in a district that at least the arithmetic says trends Democratic, then you run, I guess, as a friend and a neighbor and perhaps don't emphasize your Republican pedigree.
And I think that that's exactly what he's done. His first two ads just painted him as a friendly neighbor, somebody who you could always, you know, call up. Not really a powerful House Speaker that has a lot of fundraising power and a lot of power politically in the state. Even during a forum recently, he told a story about how he helped a man in his district who was suffering from a rare disease that took his eyesight away and was able to prop him up and help him secure some research for that disease. So, not the guy who is cozying up with lobbyists and fundraising, but somebody who can just help people with their individual issues.
And as, you know, Virginia's electorate becomes more national in that the majority of people who live here are from other places. This means even in a legislative setting, particularly this legislative setting, that what's going on nationally is a potential factor. So hostility for Donald Trump, how is that scrambling this race and what is the speaker doing about it?
You know, I don't think that Donald Trump and that message is as loud in this election, at least in this district, as it was in 2017. I don't think you're seeing Kirk Cox or Sheila Bynum Coleman speaking about Donald Trump and immigration and some of those Trump administration policies like you saw in 2017. I do think that other issues like gun control are really cropping up to the top. Sheila Bynum Coleman has made that her number one campaign issue. She wants to talk about it. She wants to talk about how Republicans in Virginia, including Kirk Cox, are not moving forward on it in the way that a lot of voters would like.
And there is that powerful image, certainly captured in the press and presumably one that Bynum Coleman invokes with some frequency. And Kirk Cox, as the Speaker of the House, gaveling the legislature into adjournment 90 minutes after it had convened in special session at the governor's request to consider firearms restrictions in the wake of the Virginia Beach mass shooting in May.
Yeah, that's right. She brings that up any chance she gets. And I asked Kirk Cox about it, and he said, you know, I'm a little tired of people bringing up this quick adjournment. He said that he felt that kicking some of the bills that would address gun control to the crime commission was a good way to approach it. He said taking the politics out and coming back to it after the election, I thought was a good compromise. Clearly, Sheila Bynum Coleman doesn't think so and is using that episode in her campaign.
And clearly that maneuver would seem to suggest that whoever is in charge of the legislature come January will ultimately decide, you know, the fate of firearms restrictions. Clearly Republicans remain fairly hostile to them. And there was that image as well. And I don't know, maybe Sheila Bynum Coleman makes reference to it as well. On the day of that special session, the NRA lobbyists working out of the speaker's conference room.
I think regardless of which party takes the House and the Senate, there is polls do show that voters, even Republicans in the state, are interested in seeing some movement on guns, even if it's something like universal background checks or red flag, which does have some Republican lawmakers behind it. I talked to two people at Oyster Rose, hosted by Kurt Cox as a fundraiser for his campaign. Both staunch Republicans, both love Kurt Cox and want to see him win, and both also support universal background checks.
Well, we're talking about a suburban anchor district. School safety, child safety are huge, huge issues. Can we talk a little bit about Kurt Cox as the campaigner? The reason I ask is that this is a politician who's gotten a lot of credit for building what seemed to be an indomitable Republican majority in the House, once 2-1, now barely 2 seats, 3, I guess, because of the vacancy in a Democratic seat. But Kurt Cox was the guy who wrote that primer for candidates for the House of Delegates and for incumbents. And it's filled with pointers on how to basically run nonstop. And a lot of it is basically high touch sort of politics. And you saw a lot of that, I guess, when you followed him door to door. Maybe you could paint a picture.
He'll tell you that when he's knocking door to door, most people just have a personal problem that they want help with. And he listens. And he told me it's not about me pushing some of the political issues I think are most important. I most of the time just try to hear them out, even if it's on something that's really personal.
What about health care? There has always been an image over the years of Kirk Cox as somehow rigid and inflexible. But he cut an important deal with Governor Northam in 2018 that allowed Medicaid expansion and the full implementation of Obamacare in Virginia. Is that something for which voters are rewarding him, at least when he's on the doors, when he's engaging him? And what is Sheila Bynum Coleman saying about that? Or has Cox's position on Medicaid expansion essentially erased that as an issue?
I think in this race and in many others where you have Republicans who did support Medicaid expansion, I don't think it's something that voters are rewarding candidates for. I think it's something that a lot of people simply just stand behind and is a positive move in the direction that many voters want to see. They want to see healthcare be more affordable and more people have access to it. I don't think Sheila Bynum Coleman is messaging too strongly on healthcare right now. I think both the speaker and Sheila Bynum Coleman are telling voters we want to make healthcare more affordable.
The Bynum Coleman candidacy has not been without its bumps. The candidate's first television ad seemed to be fact challenged, making a charge about the speaker's position on teacher pay raises, saying he had opposed them, but he actually supported them. And then there was this interesting contrast in terms of style and substance in their first and so far only broadcast debate. What sorts of messages do these telegraph to voters about this campaign?
I think you're right that during the debate, it was clear that the speaker, with his years of experience, knew a lot more about some of the ins and outs of Virginia policy on, you know, tax refunds and health care. I think that difference in experience was evident in the debate. And when you talk about the ad, you're right. There was one embarrassing misstep for her campaign. They cited a vote by a different Cox, and they had to walk that back. And you're right. Those are two missteps that kind of show maybe lack of experience and familiarity with the process. But I think that maybe for a lot of voters, I was walking out with Sheila. I don't think that voters are maybe picking up on things like that. Certainly not all are. And I think we'll see in November how much that lack of experience matters to people.
Do these bumps and the manner in which they were handled by Bynum Coleman's campaign, does that somehow telegraph this notion that maybe the Democrats are relying on the makeup of this new court redrawn district to carry Bynum Coleman to victory in November?
Well, I think that in a district where now you're seeing the demographics still in favor of Democrats, I think they're trying to capitalize on that for sure. I think that by the same token, Kurt Cox is also probably trying to squeeze out as many Republicans as he can. The tilt towards Democrat is only slight.
And we've seen some attack ads by the speaker. And maybe that suggests a measure of concern on his part, given the new makeup of this district. But all of this messaging is a result of a lot of money going into this race. And that those big bets clearly emphasize, clearly illustrate the stakes, not just in Virginia, but for those outside Virginia who are watching this race.
Yeah, Sheila Bonham Coleman has a lot of money, and she is giving the speaker a run for his money in terms of a powerful House speaker who has his own fundraising power. I think they're both running a horse race when it comes to money. And the reports that we saw come out yesterday, she had actually raised more than he had in the month of September and had more cash on hand also. I think it is true that a lot of other House candidates rely on the speaker to help them out. Republicans don't have a governor or other leader. Kirk Cox is right up there. And so I think you'll see this race be one of the top three most expensive ones this cycle.
A special thanks to Mel Lanor for joining us today on Capital Chat. We'll be back next week.